Quiet on the set.
Hey everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of Millennial Versus. I am joined by Keenan and Amelia, as well as some guests today. So welcome to Stevie, who you might remember from our Gen Talk series, and welcome to Katie, who is a first-time guest. In this episode, we will be talking about allyship, and I'm excited to see where this conversation goes. When you all think about allyship, what comes to mind?
I think for me, I think the first word that comes to mind is support. Or aid. What about you?
Support, lead, and advocate for. Sympathize as well.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Empathy and sympathy are really good ones. I think even like empathy is important. I think if it's something that you haven't been through, sympathy is important if you like, if you have. And I think you, there is some level of like sameness in that, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good one. What about y'all?
I think genuine support system. Genuine, putting emphasis on being genuine with that.
I think of community. Don't know why. Intentional community, maybe.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is good.
Laura, do you have another question after that?
Okay, so here I looked up the definition of allyship, and according to the Oxford Dictionary, it is active support for the rights of a minority or marginalized group without being a member of it. And they give an example. This training should emphasize tangible ways that employees can practice allyship, such as speaking out against discrimination. Do you guys feel like that fit a lot of sort of your thoughts or like when you think about allyship? I like that it like specifically pointed out like you're not a member of that group.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Like we were saying with sympathy and empathy, like you have to have that ability to say like, this is not something that I'm a part of or that I understand as my own, but I still have that level of empathy to say that even though it's not something that's personal to me or it's not my own, I still respect that it is for you. And I think it's about like just being equal, if that makes sense. And like the, just the word equality, honestly, I feel like that's a big one because you have so many people that fight for acceptance, equality, mm-hmm. things like that. And so, yeah, I feel like it takes a different level of intelligence to be able to say, this is not something that I feel personally or understand, but I'm committed to understanding.
Yeah. Like, this is not something that I struggle with, but
yeah,
in terms of like how society treats you per se.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions that I had was, why is this conversation important? Why do you guys feel like us talking about allyship and us having that conversation now is important?
I think a lot of reasons. Well, kind of like thinking about the Black Lives Matter movement kind of pops into my head. I'm thinking about like the systemic racism that we experience in this country. Like, Black people alone can't sort of combat that, right? Like, there has to be people who help us and people who support us. And like, you can say that for sort of other social issues that our country faces. And so I think, you know, having allyship and being an ally, and I think too, just being like a genuine person who cares about other people, you know, like just because something isn't affecting you in a negative way doesn't mean it's not affecting someone else in a negative way. And so I think kind of seeing those struggles and depending on sort of who you are and what you look like and, you know, who you love, like those struggles can be different, but still struggles, if that makes sense.
What about y'all?
Good take. Allyship, why it needs to be important still and talked about more because of, like you said, Laura, all the problems that are going on in the world today. And if that's why I like being a man of service, like to always be a helpful person because you don't know what somebody is going through. And it takes a lot of us to come together in unison to try to combat and defeat the struggles and the issues and conflicts that we have in the world today. Allyship is a good topic to really converse on.
What about you, Katie? Being our guest, like, why? I know me and Laura had talked about a lot, and Amelia, we talked about like what guests we wanted for the season. And I think with us, we're being super intentional. So by having Stevie here, by having you here, it's super intentional. So like, why did you agree to like even have the conversation with us? Why did you feel like it was important?
Because I love the topic of allyship and what makes a good ally, what makes a bad ally, and what that looks like as far as people not doing enough or being even too extreme, and then allyship within marginalized communities. Because even if we think of just the LGBTQIA, there are people in that need allies already in that community to fight for their rights that may not affect people that are joined in there. So I think it's a really important conversation to have, and I was excited to be a part of it.
Well, thank you. We love having you guys. When you say, like, too much, what do you mean by that? Like, saying that people do either A, not enough, or B, too much. What does that mean to you?
So, like, for too much, let's say you're calling yourself an ally, and you've done research on the issues, and maybe have educated yourself on this community that you're trying to support, but you've researched the wrong information, and you may be out here correcting people incorrectly and not only putting a bad face out for the community, but making yourself look kind of dumb. And that's not proper allyship. Instead of you going out and saying, these are the correct facts, you need to give space to the marginalized groups themselves, not take it upon yourself to shout for the world for them, but let them do it or educate people in behind closed doors when that discrimination is happening.
That's really crazy because I was writing a question down that was like similar to that. And I was like, how do I, like, I didn't know how to ask that question. I was like, how do I? And so I just took it off, but you literally said the thing that I was thinking. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
What about you, Amelia? Why'd you think it was important?
I'm kind of on the same page as Laura, where I feel like marginalized communities can't always advocate for themselves. So it's important to always like reach back or reach across the aisle and be able to advocate for people from where you're at, you know, or being able to empathize with their situation. Because sometimes we have privileges that we don't necessarily recognize, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's true. I think it's funny that with us having this conversation, and I'm trying to figure out how to word this too, but y'all know that with coming up with this topic, and I'm saying this because Laura and Amelia, you guys both know we've had this conversation off mic, but with having this conversation, we really don't have too much conflict like off mic. And so if we do, we're just kind of like, okay, well, like, let's talk about it, like, whatever, let's deal with it. And so I feel like allyship is one of those things where we were all doing, I feel like we're all being allies, but we were all doing it differently. And I don't think that we all fully understood that that there's more than one way to be an ally. So like you can donate your time, not just money. You can donate your time. You can donate your resources. You can file petitions. You can assign your name on petitions. You can actively be on the front line and protesting and things like that. There's so many different things that you can do. And I think for us, we, even though we're similar and very agreeable people, I think just the way that we would address allyship was like different for us. And so like, can we have the conversation, y'all? Can we talk about it? Can we talk about it?
No, go ahead, man. Go crazy.
Okay. So if you guys have not seen our first Q&A, right? There was a question that popped up. I don't know. We just polled our audience about, is there a topic that we have not talked about? And Laura answered the question. She was like, yeah. And the topic was what, Laura?
Abortion.
And this topic has been I don't want to say, I don't know, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. My heart is beating just even talking about it, just thinking about it. But like, I guess a bit of a point of contention for us, only because it's such a, I think it's such an important conversation to have, but it's also a very difficult conversation to have. And when you have that conversation, you want to make sure that you're well-informed, everyone's well-informed enough to be able to have that. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that we were all trying to be allies, but in different ways. And so I personally felt like we should have the conversation, but I wasn't like, we need to have the conversation. It was sort of, for me, it was just like, can we have the conversation? Should we? This is why I think we should. And so can you, like, Laura and Amelia, can you guys give like your sort of perspectives on like your thoughts and your feelings on when we talked about that?
Yeah. So I think for me, I was sort of not willing to have that conversation for a variety of reasons. Well, I wasn't willing to have that conversation with the group that we had, let me put it that way. Because I felt like when we kind of wanted to have that conversation, it was when the Supreme Court like sort of knocked down Roe v. Wade. Is that right? Roe v. Wade? Okay. Oh. I was like, mm-hmm. I don't want to be wrong. Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a lot of states were sort of taking the matter into their own hands, and being from a state that, you know, was not very pro-abortion, I think I was worried about legality in terms of, do we know what we're talking about from a legal perspective? And medically, do we know what we're talking about? Because there are certain types of procedures that would be considered abortions, even though, like, the child or the embryo is not viable. It cannot live outside of its mother's womb, right? But it's still considered an abortion, and those mothers still have to carry the child either to term or until, you know, it comes out naturally, or until sort of there's an issue where they have to take the baby out. And so I think I wasn't really willing to talk unless we had either someone who had sort of a medical background, worked in OBGYN, that type of field, or we had someone who worked in the legal system, or worked, maybe isn't a lawyer, but worked sort of close to that system. Just because I'm very like factual, and I'm the, like, you know, I don't ever want to feel like I'm giving you guys wrong information or people wrong information. And so that's kind of like where I was coming from. I didn't want it to be, and I think that's kind of hard to say, I didn't want it to be just like opinion based on what we thought. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with all of that. Like, absolutely all of it. I think those points are really important to make, because I think some people don't fully understand sometimes the stance that they're taking.
Mm-hmm.
At face value, maybe. Personally, I was just tired of it. Like, tired of talking about it. Tired of screaming that I'm a person and I shouldn't be like forced to carry a baby like an incubator or something, just because it seems cruel and wrong. But because sometimes just the talking about it is like, are you kidding me? Am I still begging for this? Am I still begging to be like seen, to be, for men to admit that this is cruel? You know, like that 8-year-old in Ohio, like to admit that this is cruel, this is wrong. Because I just feel like, Does that really have to be explained? And I just got tired of it. So I'm just tired of talking about it, you know, and like, if you don't get it, I don't know, maybe you need to reflect. But yeah, because I do think that maybe the experts would be more patient than me. Because I don't know, in my old age, it's like, I'm tired of talking about it. It's like, you can carry that baby. You can make that decision for yourself. You can think about it on your own. I think about it on my own. That kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, because I just feel like it's not there. Maybe that's it. It's not a conversation that should be had really outside of like a woman and her doctor,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's kind of how I feel about it. But yeah.
I don't know if you even know, but that's exactly what you said during the episode.
It is. Yeah, that's I remember that. What you
said. Here we are, literally a year later, y'all. We recorded the first Q&A a year ago this coming up weekend.
Oh my gosh,
and so
time flies.
Here we are a year later. And that was like the first time that, like, in my opinion, that I was like, you know, like when like a human does something and like a dog just like turned, like cocks his head to the side, like, that's what I was like. Like I was like, well, you know, we've had other conversations, and of course this is one that would be our biggest for sure. And I'm one of those people to where, and I'll say it again, like I said it that day, I never want to have a conversation just because, and I want to be very intentional with whatever conversation we had. And so that's why when you guys were like, no, I was like, okay. I think my only question was, okay, can you tell me why? And not in a way of like, well, why would you not want to talk about it? But just like, is this something that I should take off the list? We shouldn't talk about, and why is that? If you're just like, this is not our realm, this is not, you know, what I feel like our brand is, or like what we should talk about for X, Y, and Z, whatever reasons, I would have been like, cool, like, let's find us a topic that works for us, or, you know. And it's hard because, to your point, Amelia, like, I understand 1000% why you would just be so sick of talking about it. It's like, why am I fighting for my existence? Basically, at the end of the day, that's what it is. Like, why am I fighting for autonomy, for me just to be seen as a person, to be able to live and exist however I see fit for my life? And I'm not a woman, so I don't understand in that way, but in some ways I do. Even now it's kind of difficult, but I think for me, it really made me take a step back, because I was like, okay, am I not being a good ally by wanting to have the conversation? Like, is it inappropriate for me? And I think even later on, Laura, you know that it was brought up again, sort of in a very, in my opinion, unsupported environment, and like, out of nowhere. And so again, I feel like if it's a conversation that's like, okay, well, Keenan, this is kind of inappropriate, or you shouldn't have asked that question, again, I send like a list of 15-20 topics, and I'm like, y'all choose one. And so it had been on the list since the beginning, and I was like, okay, well, they're not choosing it, so why should I take it off, you know, whatever. But I felt like in that moment I really had to question, like, am I being a good ally by wanting to have the conversation? Is it inappropriate for me as a man to have the conversation? And I hope I can say this, Lauren, if not, let me know and I'll take it out. You know me, I'll cut anything. But when you and I were having a conversation and you said, well, Keenan, the truth is, like, sometimes it's not about personal experience, and sometimes it kind of is, because you may have more personal experience with abortion. Like, me as a man, I may have more personal experience if I have been through something similar, or I've had to go through that with my significant other or something like that, as opposed to someone else that may be in the group, or another woman, or X, Y, and Z. And so I could have more of a personal story to that, even though I'm not a woman, if I have had some sort of experience with it. And so is that okay if I?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, I don't know. I feel like that's why I say allyship is just, it kind of looks different to everyone. And so I want to apologize to the both of you if I came across as being either A, pushy, or B, like, an unsupportive ally, if that makes sense. Because I was genuinely just inquisitive, because I felt like with all of the laws and things like that that were going on, I was like, well, like, is this something we should talk about? And so, from me to y'all, I do apologize if that's how that came across, because that was not my intentions in the slightest.
I don't think there's anything wrong with being curious. I think it's fine. I think that's kind of the importance of the conversation that Laura was talking about, like, one that's very, like, education-based, you know what I mean? That it, like, it'll answer a lot of, like, the curious questions and kind of help you maybe feel out, you know, not only how you feel about it, but maybe, like, where you kind of kind of sit on the issue. But yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you're not wrong for being curious. So don't feel bad.
Why, thank you. I appreciate
it. Yeah. And like, just from the conversations I feel like we've had sort of when we've been recording and we haven't been recording, I think that you've been, yeah, like what Amelia said, like, I think that you've been curious in a way that's like very respectful and just like, hey, like, let me know. And, you know, coming from a male perspective and coming from sort of the time frame that we talked about, like, I completely understand why you would want us to have that conversation. Like, it makes complete sense to me. I think we can have the conversation. I think we just need to ask ourselves, like, what is the point of the conversation? Mm-hmm. What do we feel like people will get out of the conversation? And I think for me, and I mean, this is my opinion, you know, obviously you guys can disagree with me. I think for me, I don't see the point in having just an opinion-based episode, if that makes sense. Like, because I just don't feel like that does anything. And I think being women who could potentially be in a situation that could be illegal, like, that's kind of scary, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like the fact that like this is on the internet, right? This potentially could be here forever.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, you know what I mean? I don't know. There's a lot to that conversation, which is I think why I'm so like set, I guess, on having some type of professional guest mm-hmm. be part of that conversation with us.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Like that would be, and there are certain topics that I do want to have, but that would be the only way that I have them. So mm-hmm. Dr. Jackie Walters, if you're listening, I would love to have you. Dr. Simone Whitmore, I would love to have you. They're from Maritime Medicine and like one of my favorite shows. And so that they're both gynecologists, black women, doctors, black female doctors. I absolutely love that show. But they're Dr. Jackie, actually, a couple of episodes ago, she spoke to Kamala Harris about black mortality rate, pregnancy. Yeah. So like it was huge.
Is it up there?
What do you mean?
Is it a high number?
Oh yeah. For black women, yeah, the highest number of mortality rate in pregnancy. Yeah. Sheesh. And so her having that conversation, it was really beautiful just to be able to watch. I didn't get to watch all of it. I watched part of it. But yeah, someone who's educated, someone who knows, that would be for me the only way. Like, you know, like I said, certain conversations we can have amongst us, some require guests and some, you know, require specific guest, mm-hmm. very intentional guest. Like, you guys are intentional. So I 1000% agree. I don't know if we're there yet. Maybe we're not even there yet to be able to like really have that conversation. I do want to ask though, like Stevie and Katie as guests, like how do y'all feel about us having a conversation about maybe not even necessarily abortion, or you can like chime in on what we just talked about, but like just like a really important topic like that.
I think specifically talking about y'all, the conversation y'all just had, you're on the right path of being an ally. With any marginalized group, people are going to be tired of having that conversation. They're going to be tired of fighting for that basic right that we all want. But you're also going to find people in the group who want to educate you and help you go through those more difficult questions. Some of it's not coming from a place of malice, but a place of ignorance. And you don't know better until someone tells you. And you have to find that safe space to ask those uncomfortable questions that maybe you don't want put publicly on the internet, but that so you can face privately as an ally. So when that conversation is happening, you're better educated and can stand up and be a good ally to the people around you, whether they're present or not. So I think from what I've heard, you're on the right path of being, not that you're not, but you're on the right path of being a great ally for women in abortion.
Why, thank you.
Yeah. I've heard some of the questions you asked. I'm serious. You asked some of the right ones, whether they're uncomfortable or to ask or get the answer to. Maybe people don't want to answer them. And you know what? That's within any person's right to say, you know what, I'm not the right person to talk to about it because I'm tired. Mm. I don't want to talk about it anymore. But I promise you, there's somebody who's like, I'm ready to take up my part of this fight and talk to you about it. Let's have a discussion, a real one.
Yeah.
It's real.
And I think for me, I get to be so like gung-ho, like I feel some sort of way. I think naturally, I'm just kind of like, A, with knowing about the mortality rate of pregnant Black women and like watching my mom have certain health issues, I think, and also like even since I've been a kid, I've always been naturally more drawn to like, I have more female friends than I do male friends. And so I think I've heard a lot more conversations about certain struggles that women have, and I've been able to empathize. And so for me, I think my initial thought was like, okay, this is an issue for women. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I think us having the conversation during the Q&A a year ago, I think that was what gave me pause to be like, okay, wait a minute, but are you addressing it appropriately? And are you in a space to be able to address it? Because like, another thing that we used to do, y'all, is sitting out, and we talked about this, sitting out of certain conversations, and we agreed coming back for season 4 that we weren't doing that because we used to sit out, like if it was something that would affect like racially, Amelia would be like, okay guys, I'm gonna hold space for you guys, which we thought, I think we all were like, that's so beautiful, she's gonna let me, like us have that conversation, and Amelia would still be there, you know, during the conversation, yeah, listening, but she was like, I'll give you guys the space to be able to talk. And same with like when we had the episode feminism, me and Tali sat back. I kind of asked more questions, but us as the guys, like, you know, I'm inquisitive, but us as the guys, like, we sat back and let you guys carry on that conversation, which still can happen. But at the same time, everybody has to be included in the conversation in order for there to be an actual change. And so that's like the one of the biggest things that we had to change for season 4, because we were like, that may have worked season 1. And I think that was the space that we're in. Ooh, Amelia, can you please talk about that when we had that conversation? Because you raised some excellent points just about how we agreed to do that.
About which part? About how we agreed to like all start talking? Or yeah, during like the feminism episode specifically?
I mean, you could talk about both, but for me, it was more.
I was gonna say, it's been a while since that one.
Look, we don't have to go into feminism. it was a statement that you made. You said something like, it was great. Having us sit out was great for then because it's what we needed. Like, especially when it came to Black Lives Matter, because our 4th episode was cultural appropriation. I'll never forget recording in my grandmother's closet. Like, I was like, y'all, we're going to talk about this. Like, how are we going to address it? We're going over notes. I still have my notes in my desk right now. And you were like, we were like, Amelia, like, how do you want to talk about it? Because like, all of us are Black. And like with you, mm-hmm, it's like a roles reverse sort of thing with you being the minority. And like, and so we were like, how do you like, so we're like trying to make you feel comfortable with talking about cultural appropriation, which is wild. Because it's like, I mean, who does it affect more? You know? And it was, I don't know. It's just, I think that statement that you made about that's sort of where we were then versus now.
Yeah. Some of those topics were hot. And I think at that time, especially when we were first getting our footing, like as a group and kind of getting to know each other better back then, that it was good. I think it was good to do both, you know, and realize that like, okay, that worked for then and we've done it that way. But now we realize that these conversations are important to have and that it's important for everyone to be engaged. It's also important to be unafraid to make mistakes in some of these conversations. You know what I mean? Like to be like the way that you're asking really vulnerable questions is important, you know, like with the abortion conversation, things like that. I think that you miss out on that if you choose to kind of take more of a passive role. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Stevie, let's play catch up. What are your thoughts about what we're saying? Well, I know it's a lot, right?
But just to really summarize, like, it just takes a lot of patience and understanding.
Can you put Mike a little bit closer to Stevie?
just takes a lot of patience and understanding when having these type of conversations with people that they may deem as it being uncomfortable. And we just have to know how to like come about, like what y'all said, with the approach and make sure you have your facts right, you know, your research, you know, the stats on it, and just be a listener first, more than anything. Definitely listen first, and then counteract with what they're saying, and then but still be understanding, as you know, they may not react the same way I might react or Keenan may react. I've been having to try to practice that nowadays lately, of knowing like what words to use, you know, especially like when speaking to women, talking to women, conversating with women, I got to know what words to really say and not to say, to still have them comfortable, to still maintain them being comfortable in having a conversation. And especially with topics like, you know, we can go with racism, sexism, abortion, you know, things of that nature. So it takes a lot of patience and understanding.
I think too, like being humble enough to, because I think sometimes like what Katie was saying earlier about like there is ignorance, and like being ignorant is not bad. We're all ignorant about something, right? And like kind of what you were saying, Stevie, like sometimes people don't use or know the right phrases to use, or, and that's when you just kind of have to be humble. And like, and someone says, you know, someone talks to you out of love and acceptance and appreciation and says, hey, this is not the way that you, the words that you're using are not cool. The way that you're speaking about this group is not cool. And it may be uncomfortable, but you just kind of have to sit with that and be like, okay, why did they say that? You know, like, you know, what are they trying to tell me? And sort of be more respectful if you aren't being respectful, right? Like, and I think that no matter what, like kind of what you're saying, Stevie, like whether it be sexism or racism or, you know, homophobia or anything like that, you just have to be willing to listen, and you have to be willing to like just be like to just humble yourself and being open to hearing what someone else has to say. Even if you maybe don't agree with it, or maybe the sort of upbringing you had like says something completely different, you just kind of have to be aware of that.
I agree. I think, man, that just you saying like you have to sit in your ignorance sometimes and being, ooh, the ability to say I was wrong, even when you think you're being a good ally, by saying, ooh, I did not handle that right. It may not make you a bad ally, but it does make you an ally who needs to learn. Mm-hmm. And so just always willing to be educated, mm-hmm, and saying that like, I know a lot, but I don't know everything. Like these, however many degrees that I have, you know, it's a lot of them. It's hard keeping up, but even with these degrees, I'm just playing, y'all. I'm not that vain, but like, there's always more to learn. And there's all like, first of all, you can't learn everything from a book. Some things take real world experience. Some things take understanding and storytelling. And that's why I love with us, like with the podcast, Laura, you are such a stats and data kind of like, you are research, you're that person. Amelia, you are the history. Stevie called you a nerd.
I'm just asking. Hey, that's what you're saying.
It's true.
I mean,
it's okay,
no lies detected, but it's fine. Amelia is the historian, and so she's gonna tell us like longitudinal, like this is what it is, you know what I'm saying? And for me, I'm more of the experiences and the personal stories kind of person. And so I think the three of us together, like we really tell a full-fledged story. Mm-hmm. And I love that about us. And with having guests, oh wait, look, we come together. Y'all, I can't take him nowhere.
Everyone achieves more.
His ass. Anyways, yeah, I think that we tell like a full-fledged story, and I feel like I love that we're able to sit back and have those uncomfortable conversations on mic and off mic and be able to say like, hey, like, I don't think this was handled right, or hey, like, I know you meant well, but, and to be able to forgive, like that, mm-hmm, that's huge, because in allyship, it's going to happen all the time, and you're going to make mistakes, you're going to... There's no such thing as a perfect ally, Phil. There's no, and I think for me, I definitely, I'm having like a come to Jesus, just an epiphany. I think I have been thriving on being perfect and like the perfect, at least the perfect ally. I won't say as a person because like, you know, like that. But like as an ally, just wanting to make sure that like everyone feels seen and feel heard. And I think that comes from my own personal experience. But at the same time, knowing that even when I am advocating, even if I am signing petitions, I'm on the front line, I'm doing X, Y, and Z, like, I'm no superhero, and, like, I still need to sit back and be able to listen. Amelia, I want to ask, like, Amelia and Katie, what have your experiences been with, because I know you guys personally, right? And so, what have your experiences been with having to be an ally when it comes to, we can talk race, we can talk gender, we can talk like whatever, like what has your experience been like having to stand up as like, or do you like when it comes to family or friends? I didn't know the answer to this, but like when it comes to family or friends, like what is that like for you guys? Because I know what it's like to speak up for people of color. I know what it's like to stick up for Black men, but I am a Black man. I know what it's like to stick up for women. I'm not a woman, but like, that doesn't mean that it's the same necessarily when it comes to race or when it comes to even a woman having to, I don't know, stand up for a man. I mean, if that's what you choose, you know, that's what you want. But, you know, so like, what have your experiences been with that?
Well, so if you want a personal story, I can dive right in with that.
I would love that.
And ready.
I would love that.
Dive right in.
Now, don't be telling my mama. I'm calling her out. Don't
send her this episode.
Do not. I mean, she talks about it pretty openly now too. But so when white privilege really became a topic, we were all talking about. I don't know if you've ever heard of Our Town, but me, it's a diversity camp for teenagers where you learn about all different races, religions, sexual orientation, what that really is, and how learning to be accepting in education rather than ignorance and coming up with your own conclusions and hearing it from the source. And in that camp, white privilege was brought up multiple times. It felt like a whirlwind, and me and my brother learned about it together as both campers and counselors. And there was one night we were at my mom's house, and my brother and my mom, she's the sweetest lady, but my brother sat on the couch and was like, "We're going to discuss white privilege today." And I was like, "We're doing that now? Oh, okay. So like, we're doing that now. Great. Let's have this conversation." And it was a tough one, because when you first hear that term as a white person, it's defensive. It's, well, I have friends that are people of color. I do this. I fight for this group. I'm not privileged. I went through this. I didn't get things because of this. And it's not that, y'all. It's not that. And that was a really hard concept for my mom to come over. She was like, "No, I didn't grow up with this. I had to fight for everything I had. I fought with these groups." And like, it was such a hard concept. Be like, "Mom, nobody's saying you didn't go through anything. It's just that life's a little easier because you're pale. That's all it is, girl." And but it took a couple weeks. And when she finally, like, it's in that letting people sit and sit in that education and giving them that space to do so without pushing and pushing and pushing. She came to me and my brother and was like, "White privilege is real. It took me a minute. I was mad at y'all for a second there. I thought y'all were saying that I didn't earn everything I have. Like, I earned it, but I hear you and I get it. White privilege is real." And like, it was like her seeing through a whole new lens of, dang. And now she talks about it with anybody who will listen to her. But that was a tough, it was a big fight. We all left mad. There was yelling involved because she thought we were coming for her. Because initially, that's how it feels when you're first hearing that term, that you're getting things out of life just because of the color of your skin. It's, and with some things you are, let's be real, but it's mostly that you're getting a pass and it's easier to do some things. So yeah, there's that one. Wow.
That is a great conversation. That's a very difficult conversation to have, especially when it comes to family.
I never see my mama come out that chair like that before we said that to her. She's like your neighbor.
Never mind. I can't get the words.
You sure?
No, I was about to say it's basically like based on their upbringing. So they feel like, a lot of people like they still, like it's still around. Mm-hmm. If we're on top of racism.
Anything.
I feel like it's still around. Like people like fail to still like realize that times have changed. Like it's not what it was when people of age were growing up. It's not the same anymore. And some folks still, I feel like, still don't want to accept how it is now in this world. And like they still show it, but they just show it in a different way. They hide it. They can hide it a little better based off how it was, you know, years and years ago where they were just all out, you know, blatant with it. And because I don't look at nobody at all based on their color whatsoever. Like I barely even look at my color. I can have to remember that I'm, you know, of color whenever I'm just having a conversation with a person, because I mean, like, we're people, like we bleed the same, put our clothes on the same, all that. You about to chime in? You got a question?
I'm feeling it, Keenan. If you don't do it, exactly.
You actually need to change.
I'm tapping in Laura.
Well, I think it's really, I get what you're trying to say, Stevie, but I don't know if it's coming off the way that you think it's coming off, because saying something like, you know, I don't see color is not that that's exactly what you said, but it's kind of what you said. And I think hearing a white person say that has a lot of like negative effects, right? Because I mean, they literally a couple months ago, an article came out that Wells Fargo denied some percentage of black people who had the exact same, like, for loans, the exact same qualifications as white people. And it's like, that was months ago, right? Like, you know, black people still, their houses, they have to, if they're trying to sell their house, they have to hide that black people live there, right? They have to hide their pictures. Mm-hmm. They have to hide whatever, right? So like, we're still seeing instances where black people are not being treated the same as white people, you know, and then add different layers on it. Think about socioeconomic status. Think about where they live, you know, think about like generational wealth and like sort of how, you know, generations of people who have had privilege have been able to be in this sort of world. Speaking of, or specifically thinking about America. And so I think we have to be respectful of where people come from, right? Like, we have to, like, talking black and talking white, you know, if someone talks black, they're not less intelligent, right? If anything, that's a form of code switching. And that's a form of, some people argue that the black vernacular is a whole different language and that people know two different languages. Like, and if you know two different languages, that's actually really good for your brain. And, you know, there's a lot of benefits that come with learning more than one language. And I think, you know, seeing different, like thinking about like people who are Hispanic and like the struggles that they go through, and people who are Asian and the struggles that they go through, and like this idea of like the model minority and what that means. And so I think we have to respect what people look like. We have to respect where people come from. And I think it's not as, and I think there's no point in saying something along the lines of like, your skin tone doesn't matter to me, because it matters to the world and we live in the world.
I think it's the, I think the intention is there. I think the delivery.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think it was just I also feel like when it comes to any sort of marginalized group, right, that like you guys said earlier, there's a lot of like me having to fight, me having to protest, me having to speak, you know, like my, like why do I always have to stand up for me? Like it's okay if someone else wants to, or if a friend I'm gonna tell y'all a story. This happened over the summer, right? So, oh God, it's gonna be bad. But I'm gonna tell the story anyways. So I had a friend who we get together typically in the summertime, and there's a 4th of July situation. And for me personally, I understand the 4th of July, however, comma, like Juneteenth is my celebration. And for my community, I hate to say it, 1776, my people weren't celebrating. We just weren't. And so I had to sort of agree because I understand that it's just a celebration. I understand that it's just this and that, whatever. But I also had to say that, okay, I want to make sure that I'm respecting myself, respecting my community, respecting my ancestors by whatever decision I make, whether it's to go or to not go. And so I said, well, I will be willing to go, but can we have a conversation about Juneteenth, why it's important? And mind you, I was the only Black person there, and it was probably 100 plus white people. I didn't see anybody in the country, in Arkansas, which already for me, being a bigger Black, dark-skinned Black man, when I tell you my eyes are scanning everything, I don't get to fully enjoy myself because I'm looking at my surroundings, making sure that I'm safe. And that's something that my friends, while they're walking around doing whatever, having fun, they don't see me doing that. And so part of allyship was, thank you so much. I'm glad that they gave me the space to be able to have that conversation. I told them, like, look, I come because, like, I want to support you guys and I want to have fun, but it's not necessarily the most fun situation for me just because I have so much anxiety about, not necessarily do I think that I'm in an unsafe situation, but we all know how things can change in a split second. And so I have to be aware of my surroundings. I just do. And we had a really beautiful conversation about that. But in however, comma, not everybody shared those same sentiments just because, again, like you were saying earlier, Katie, I don't think that they were trying to be rude or disrespectful or racist in any sort of way, but just ignorance. Like, well, what about this is unsafe? Or like asking questions like, why would you feel uncomfortable? But like, have we not accepted you and made you feel comfortable? And it's like, well, first of all, it's not just you here. Second of all, it's not about you. It's not about what you feel like your level of, my level of comfortability should be just because you're present. Mm-hmm. And I think that the initial having the conversation of my uncomfortability was beautiful for allyship, but I think the reception and the response to it from certain people was not necessarily, I think there's asking questions and I think there's asking questions for purposes. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense, you have a hidden agenda or an intention behind it. And it's not, are you asking questions to understand or are you asking questions because you feel guilty and you want to get out of that guilt, that white guilt, baby? I'm going to say what it is. Are you trying to get out of that white guilt? I'm just saying, because in certain communities, like, honestly, that's all I have to say. I'm going to leave it right there because I think I got it with white guilt. And if you didn't hear me the first time, I love that we, especially with Millennial Versus, like, we're trying to create an environment where these conversations are had and everybody, even if we don't understand, we're allowing ourselves to be open and educated. And I feel like everybody here is able to do that, which is beautiful.
Well, I think in the situation you just described, something that somebody that they could have done for you as an ally before ever happening, saying, hey, this is the kind of people are going to be there. What can I do to make you more comfortable? Because I want you to go, but I want you to feel comfortable. What does that look like for you? Like, you need to invite a couple buffers, a couple friends that you know that you can go off with and talk to. Like, what do you need to make sure you're having a good time?
I think it's very unfortunate when you live in a space where you don't have to think about those things. I think, I don't... It sounds bad, but you know how people say, like, well, I have Black friends. I have, like, maybe you should.
But that's real, though. It's real.
It's real.
That's real though.
I mean, it's like in the amount of times that I've heard that.
But do you really have black friends? One, or two? I think the question is, not all people of color have the same experience or believe the same things, right? Like, there are people who say, for example, I don't know exactly who this person is. I think it was like a documentary or an Instagram reel or something that I saw, but it was this person who, I think they were Korean and were adopted by white people and lived in this small town, and they were literally the only person of color in the town, right? So like their experiences about how they feel about their culture, how they feel about, you know, how they interact with white people, like that. Can y'all hear my cat? Okay, good. He's got a little ball with a bell in it. But those experiences are just different, right? And I think like internalized racism and like how people deal with that. And while I think, you know, every person's, you know, if someone's within that group, like their experience is important, I think you have to have a variety of experiences to kind of, you know, be like, okay, bro, are you serious? Where is it? I think you have to listen to a variety of experiences to, I don't know, I don't want to say make up your own conclusion, because if you're not part of that group, you can't make up your own conclusion, right? But one person's experience does not define the experience of a whole group, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I think it's good to keep going there, because like I didn't have a good personal story, because I'm not going to get on here and be like, oh my god, I used to do diversity and inclusion and I went to this protest and no bitch, I went to that protest with a mask on. The government does not need to know where I was at on whatever day in 2020. Okay, don't worry about where I was at. I wasn't blocking I-40. I wasn't. Okay. Anyways, you're gonna have to cut that out. But anyways, I told my parents I was going to lunch, and then I was out in the streets. So it was so bad. Anyways, I didn't have anything like that. I was thinking more of like, I was gonna take it more in like a gender direction, and I was thinking about how like I feel like men struggle with allyship with women. I think they struggle to empathize with a lot of things that women go through, like how women survive and have to live with the fact that men perpetuate a lot of violence against them. And that's like in the same way that, you know, the racial divide is there because of violence and a little bit of disparity. I feel like women experience that in a different way, but I think men have a harder time admitting it. There's like a mysterious third party that's doing all this stuff. It's not them, not all men, or whatever the hell they say. But yeah, so I was kind of thinking the other direction. I was thinking more of a lack of allyship. So, you know, we can go either way. Y'all can cut that out completely. We can keep, because I like this other conversation too. This one is good. So, but yeah, so don't feel pressured on that. But yeah, because we can always come back to that too on like a Gen Talk episode or something like that. So,
yeah, I would like to keep that second half in at least. You know, I know you don't want the first part, but like, just because I feel like it's important to know that, like, again, sometimes allyship is important as is. Sometimes we all know that it's performative, and sometimes you have to milk that like performative behavior too. Sometimes it's like, oh my god, thank you so much, if we could just get this donation, that would be great. Oh my god, if you could just sign here please. Oh my god, we love that. Oh my god, would you help me make these signs? That would be incredible. Like, sometimes you just gotta milk it. If you're gonna perform, baby, act your ass off. Like, I want you to have the starring role. I want to make sure that my task is completed. I want to make sure that this petition is signed. I want to make sure that this bill is passed. I want to make sure that this donation has been made. I want to make sure that this Cash App went through. I want to make sure that it's all taken care of. Yeah, so man, if you feel like acting, I'm going to make sure that you are Viola fucking Davis. Oops, sorry. I'm just saying, like, if you want to go there, I'm going to make sure you are Meryl Streep. I'm going to make sure that you are, let's see, who's another good one? Denzel Washington. I'm going to make sure that you are Brad Pitt. I'm going to make sure that you are, I could go on forever. But anyways, like,
Angela.
I feel like you better be Angela Bassett in this bitch. Like, we better go off. You are going to have the starring role. So, yeah. Exactly. Denzel. Like, you are going to be Denzel.
So, do you guys have examples of, like, bad allyship that you've sort of experienced?
I had someone, I can say this because I don't think they'll listen. I had someone who.
I'm gonna need you to do better with the mic. Thank you.
Damn. I had someone, and I'll say this because I don't think that they'll be listening to this episode. I had someone who sort of was one way with me initially, because for me, like, I came out to them, and so initially when I came out, it was like very. Like, oh my God, like, I'm just asking questions, like, oh, like, I support, blah, blah, blah. And then you get around a group that has a similar mindset to you. And now all those questions that you had that were just sort of inquisitive and me being able to educate, because me personally, I totally understand when people are like, I don't feel like educating. Sir, this mic is, thank you. If you could please just love it, right, man. There. You know, how about I that's fine. Anyways, I totally understand when people say things like, oh, I don't want to, like, I don't feel the need to educate all the time. Because sometimes, first of all, it's exhausting, like Amelia said, it's exhausting. You don't want to do it all the time. But for me, it's kind of fun. And so I like to educate just because I'm like, I'm imparting wisdom and a piece of me is going to be with you for the rest of your life. You're welcome. And so, but with having that conversation, for me, the initial conversation was good. They were inquisitive. They were asking certain questions. And I could tell it came from an inquisitive place, not a judgmental place. However, when I came out to another group of friends and that person was there, the questions led from being inquisitive to judgmental. Mm-hmm. Because the questions that the other people were asking were all judgmental. And it was, well, I feel like this. And honestly, not even really questions, but I feel like this. You should live your life this way. I believe in living life. Very, very. Mm-hmm. And so, again, me in that situation, especially when you're trying to be vulnerable, especially when you're trying to be vulnerable with people who are close to you and have been close to you for such a long time, when that's sort of taken advantage of or not respected, at the end of the day, just respect it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to love it. Because again, we've all lived differently. We've all grown up differently, but we all have to respect each other. And with asking those questions, it wasn't supportive. It wasn't a healthy space. It wasn't a healthy environment. And for me, I knew immediately, like, okay, this isn't for me. I need to sort of leave. And so there's been minimal contact at that point, but I had to go back to my friend and say, hey, listen, you were really supportive when we had that conversation initially. And then you get around these people who are not even really asking questions, but more making statements, generalized statements based off of, I'm just going to say it, based off of ignorance that they've learned over time, generationally, you know, and like whatever. And now your tone is switched. Now you're, and I'm a very non-confrontational person. So for me to speak up and to say something and to ask, like, why did you do that? But I did. That's been my journey. We talked about quarter life crisis last week. Like, that has been me. That has been me, like, using my throat chakra, me opening my mouth and using my voice and standing up for myself and being like, hey, so you're one way with it when it was me and you, and now you get around a group of like-minded people and now you feel like you can ask these judgmental questions and you can say, well, I feel like you, that wasn't okay. And so I feel like that was me advocating for myself and my community, which was beautiful. And then I have someone who, like, over here, who I did the same thing. And it was nothing but love and support, which is why when we came up with this topic of allyship, that's why I asked Stevie to be my guest, because he's been nothing but support. And I think especially with our community, meaning the Black community, I know how certain things are received. I know how there are certain judgments that are made And so when you can find people, I mean, we all have multiple groups that we're in, like Laura and Katie, y'all are book readers. I'm not a book reader, but like that is a very strong and supportive community to be in. And like so much so that like y'all make me want to pick up a pamphlet or something. I can't read a book, not a whole book, a pamphlet, you know, like, you know, rip out a page and read it or something. I can't do a whole book, you know, just, you know, about the author on the back of the book or something. They are like 1200 pages and shit. I'd be like, oh my God, no.
It could be a lot worse, but hey, long as I got my health, long as I got a good support system. Cause back to the question you asked about, have I ever like experienced bad allyship? And I don't really think I have, because if you're displaying bad allyship, then you know you shouldn't even be within my support circle anyway. So I wouldn't even like come to that, would even approach that person to even ask them for like any advice or whatever, or you know, open up to them about what's going on with my life. I wouldn't even do that anyway. Like I want to like pride myself on being around like a close circle with people that, you know, are, you know, supportive and non-judgmental and, you know, just always being there for you. You're not trying to like judge you or like, you know, make fun of you all the time, stuff like that. Yeah. Making fun is going to happen, but as long as you like, you're there for that person, you keep it real with them, you tell them what they need to hear and what they don't want to hear. I mean, that goes a long way. And that's why I try to appreciate the people that are around me that, you know, perform those behaviors.
Yeah. I just want to say thank you to Katie and Stevie for joining us as guests on this episode. And if-
oh, not a problem. I enjoyed my time. Thank you for having me again. Thank you. It means the world. It is an honor. Almost like a privilege. You know, you could have went to anybody else, you know, to discuss this topic with y'all, but y'all chose little old me. Y'all chose me. Thank you.
And we won't be choosing your ass no more.
Damn. I'm just
kidding. Stevie, why did you do that? I'm crying. I can't focus now, bro.
What am I doing? I'm showing my appreciation like you were showing yours.
We're glad you have that.
Yeah, I can't say you welcome. I can't say thank you, too. Like, my mom raised me right.
Don't blame your mom for this shit. Don't you blame Miss Wanda for your antics. Don't blame Miss Wanda for your antics.
Oh,
Miss Wanda ain't got nothing to do with you.
Yes, she do. I'm her seed. Offspring, the person.
He said snatch. Oh, my God.
Thank you again. Thank you for having us.
Go team.
Amelia is not going to be finishing the rest of the season with us. She is so over us.
Oh,
she's like, these bitches.
Okay.
I meant you. I wasn't calling y'all bitches. What an ally to end the episode by calling you.
What, we are very bad allyship. See, now I'm finna call an allyship. So chill.
I just want to say thank you again for Stevie and Katie for joining us on this episode. We want to know what allyship means to you guys. Make sure to download our episodes on whatever platform you use to listen. Also, make sure to follow us on social media to keep up to date with us, participate in polls, and interact with us so we can hear your thoughts about our most recent episodes. Until next time. Bye. Stevie, any last words?
I got it. I got the mic. I got it.
Oh. thank y'all again. Always try to be supportive. You never know what somebody's going through. Judgment free world, not zone, but world.
Allyship.
Yeah, allyship, that too. allyship. Yeah, have some good allyship. It goes a long way.
Hashtag allyship. For me.